Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Okay, guys, Sarah coached Mark 10 and Jeremy 5. Let's get those bags up the stairs and into the car. They had all been working together sorting outgrown clothes and toys to take to a local shelter. Sarah had conceived the project as a way to let the boys take an active part in helping less fortunate children. Although she was proud of their efforts, she had expected much more reluctance in parting with some old favorites. Of course, she had done a lot of sorting and even some coaxing herself, like convincing both boys that a treasured pair of leather cowboy boots were so small they couldn't possibly be of use. The pair was one of those luxury gifts that her older son Mark especially had just adored. When they pulled up to the shelter, the boys helped her load their cargo onto a cart. "I've got a number of bags," Sarah explained to the woman accepting donation. "Boys' clothes are in these bags, and toys are over here." The woman looked at Mark and Jeremy. "Are these yours?" she asked. They both nodded, beaming. "We carried them," Jeremy announced proudly as he and Mark headed back to the car. "There are lots of goodies to go through," Sarah remarked. "And someone," she added with a smile, "will enjoy a pair of real leather cowboy boots." "No, they won't," she heard a voice reply. Turning, she saw her older son with his beloved outgrown cowboy boots just visible behind his back. From a parent's perspective, how can we manage to raise our children to be charitable? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is a professional speaker and author on philanthropy. Carol Wiseman has served on and presided over numerous nonprofit boards. She works primarily in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Canada with philanthropic organizations, fundraising, volunteerism, and governance. Her recent book, Raising Charitable Children, can help enrich the lives of families with its messages and ideas for meaningful charitable endeavors. Carol is the mother of two sons and aunt of a niece who also lives with her family. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Carol.
It's great to be here.
What's the biggest challenge in raising kids to be charitable?
The biggest challenge out there is that kids are always watching. Kids are sponges. They're watching the media, and they're also watching us. And so they get this idea that somehow they're less than whole if they don't have what they're supposed to have. So they think they're supposed to have this special pair of blue jeans. And right now, it's the Audrey Hepburn look. And I don't know about your listeners. I have one leg that looks like Audrey Hepburn's whole body. This is radio, but I don't look like I'm the same species as Audrey Hepburn. And so children get the idea that if they don't have those Audrey Hepburn-looking jeans, that they're not whole. Children get the ideas that if they don't have the right pair of tennis shoes, children get killed over pairs of tennis shoes. But the other thing that children are watching, and this is the scary part, they watch us too. And one of the hardest things about raising charitable children is that as the grown-ups in their lives, whether we're aunts or parents or uncles or grandparents, is that we have to walk our talk and that they're watching us and what we do in our lives. And that's just as hard as fighting with what the media is doing.
It's interesting. You think about traditions that you start, and of course they have to keep going. There can't be a one-shot thing, and the kids really pay attention to that.
And what's interesting is so much of our giving is quiet and under the radar. And one of the things that we started doing as one of our traditions is sharing with our kids the way we give. And it was interesting. We had our niece come to live with us, and one day she said, as I was walking by the Salvation Army kettle, "You know, Aunt Carol, you're something of a hypocrite, and you really love hearing this from a child." And I said, "How do you figure that?" And she said, "You know, you always talk about how great the Salvation Army is, but you don't ever give to them." Oh, and I thought, wow. And I said, "How about a cup of hot chocolate?" And she said, "Okay." And so we sat down at a little place near us, and I said, "Let me explain to you about how I give to the Salvation Army." And I explained about appreciated stock. And I said, "The Salvation Army would much rather have appreciated stock than a quarter." Mm-hmm. And I do give to the Salvation Army. And all of a sudden I realized she had no idea because I gave below her vision, mm-hmm. below the radar. Mm-hmm. And so what I do now every year before we have our annual family philanthropic meeting, and I urge your listeners to do this, we send our children a list of everybody we've given to for the year. And so they know how we give. Because a lot of your listeners give in federated ways. So they may give to the Jewish Federation, the Combined Health Appeal. They may tithe to their church through the United Way. They may give online. And their kids have no idea what they really care about. There are two ways to tell what somebody actually cares about. Two ways to tell. Look at their checkbook and their calendar.
Carol, going back to the beginning, what's the best way to start kids thinking about philanthropy outside of course, you have to share your cookie with Jimmy, who's over here, you know?
Yeah, that's miserable. And in fact, that sharing business, kids hate sharing. They really hate sharing. And it's really overrated. What we started doing when our kids were 4 and 6 was letting our children give a gift to the charity of their choice at their birthday and not losing anything. So if they saw philanthropy and giving with a sense of loss, we didn't think they would be terribly interested in it. And so especially for very small children, we ask them 3 questions. And the 3 questions you might want to ask the children in your life are, what made you sad in the last year? What made you happy? And how would you like to change the world in the next year? So when our son, Jono, was 4 years old, we asked him, what made you sad in the last year? And he told us, we said, what made you happy? And he said, I love going to the Missouri Botanical Garden. And we said, what made you happy about that? And Jono was a deep thinker at this age. And he said, I love the toasted cheese sandwiches. And we said, how would you like to change the world in the next year? And he said, I'd like a lot of people to be able to get the toasted cheese sandwiches. He was very focused on toasted cheese at this age. And so I called the development director, and that's the person who's in charge of fundraising. And I said, can we come down and make a very small donation? And it was a small donation. And we went down there, and we made this small donation, and he felt fabulous. And in fact, there's a picture of Jono in the front of my book, Raising Charitable Children, making the donation to the head of the botanical garden because of their stellar toasted cheese sandwiches. And it was such a fun day for him, and he didn't lose anything.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on raising charitable children.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, The Popular Voters Guide by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Carol Wiseman about raising children to be charitable.
The reason you need to make this a purely joyous experience is that when you associate giving with a sense of loss, children are less likely to want to do it. And I remember working with a millionaire, a bazillionaire perhaps, and I remember him telling me that when he was a little boy, he was very jealous of orphans. And I said, really? And I said, why? And he said, after my birthday party, they took away the ponies and all the things that my mother had rented and the clowns, and he'd have these very, very lavish birthday parties. I got to choose one birthday present, and everything else went to the orphanage. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to be an orphan? You got all the presents, and you had children to play with all the time. And you didn't have to sleep alone in a very large room.
Oh, my.
And his perception of being an orphan was that there were always people around, companionship, and you got rich children's presents. And here he was, and he had inherited all this money that he was supposed to give away once again. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to share.
Oh, wow.
Isn't because it was never associated with joy. And my job was to help him give away all this money.
What age do you think it's appropriate for kids to give something that is theirs? I mean, obviously when they're little and you say, what would you like to contribute? It's our money. It's yes. our goods or whatever it is. When do you think is the right turnover?
I think usually 7, 8, 9. And it really is very dependent on the child. Because some children, even at 5 and 6, will start sharing. And you see that, and you encourage it, and you reward it. But much before that, a lot of them are not ready. Mm-hmm. That little boy who wasn't ready to share his boots. Cowboy boots, I think you respect that. And you say, you know, when you're ready to give those cowboy boots up, that's terrific. And I'll respect that. Because if you associate giving with losing instead of gaining, then the next time it just gets harder and harder instead of this sense of joy, which it really can be, is just this wonderful experience.
Carol, you mentioned something very intriguing a few minutes ago, and that was about your family's annual philanthropic meeting. Would you elaborate on that idea?
Yes, we do something that I think every family can do. And you can define family very differently. And sometimes a family philanthropy meeting can be between a godparent and a godchild, or a grandparent and grandchildren, or between an aunt and a child. So it doesn't have to be between biological parents and biological children. And it doesn't have to be at the end of the year, because I know we have a lot of families in the armed forces, so the end of the year can be whenever people come home. So it can be any time of the year. But what we do is we send a note to our kids, and our kids, two of our kids are grown, telling them what we've already given throughout the year and how much money we're going to have to give out. So it doesn't matter if you're giving $50 or $50 million. You know, it really doesn't matter what the number is. And we give them about a month to think about it, and then they start lobbying each other. And they really decide on what they're going to push for. And my husband and I decide on what we're going to push for. So they know where we've already given money. And sometimes they'll call and say, why did you give to this charity? And I'll tell them, you know, I had a client or a friend that was doing a walk or a run, or I'll tell them what the charity was. And then we sit down and we have what we call the joy and sadness meeting. And we talk about what made us sad in the last year and what made us happy. It's a time for reflection. And sometimes we hear things that really surprised everybody. For instance, one meeting which really startled my older sons who were out of the home was that my niece who lives with us, when she was 14, said she was very disturbed because one of her friends got pregnant. And my older son said, well, I certainly hope you're not sexually active. And it really, whoa. And she said, I don't think that's any of your business. And he said, oh, I think it is. And it was a 4-hour family meeting on this one. And I wasn't going anyplace at that time. I just sat there, and my husband and I kept quiet, and we just sat back and listened. And we made what was an appropriate gift for our family. Now, whether you're a pro-choice or a pro-life family, it doesn't matter. But we gave the gift that was right for what we believed in. And that was a very meaningful discussion for our family.
Oh, my.
It was really quite a discussion. And that's what this is all about, is discussing what you believe in and putting your money where your mouth is.
And if you foster that kind of discussion, the hope is, of course, that it continues in their priorities.
Absolutely. And last year we got a new daughter-in-law, which was wonderful. Actually, she hadn't married in last year. She married this year. And she brought a new dimension to the family. And this was fabulous. We can't give to all the charities we want to, not even the Gates Foundation, which is they give slightly more money than we do. And so she had a great idea. There were a number of charities that we could not give to, obviously. And she said, the charities that we can't give to, why don't we give sweat equity? And in other words, why don't mm-hmm. we give ours? H-O-U-R-S. And so she and my son decided we'll give each of these charities 50 hours or 100 hours. I forgot what they decided on. And I loved that because they have no money and not a lot of time, but really no money. And so they decided that the charities that we couldn't give money to, they would give time to, which I thought was such a wonderful added dimension to our family meeting.
And is that what you meant earlier when you said you can tell what people value by both their checkbooks and their calendars?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it's really a very fun meeting.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on raising charitable children.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Carol Wiseman about raising children to be charitable.
Carol, what are some suggestions for ways for kids to be involved with charitable organizations?
Things have changed, and so you have to call the charities, because some of the things that I used to do with my kids, you can't do anymore. For instance, I used to make baked cookies and take them to the USO, and you can't do that anymore. And I was very sad to hear that because of terrorism. And so you have to call the charities to ask them what they want. There are two ways to approach this. One is something that you do at your house with your kids and then bring it to the organization. And the other is that you do with the organization. So you can go online and type in the name of the organization, for instance, Volunteering Children in Nashville, and find out what's available. Or you can simply call so you can find Shelters Nashville or Shelters San Francisco and start calling Shelters and say, is there something you need that my children and I can provide? And one of the things that we did one time that was really great is we made 500 sandwiches, which doesn't take a lot of time. And we set up this little table and we asked them exactly what they needed. And that's what's really important, because they didn't want anything with mayonnaise and they wanted mustard. And that was really important, not to poison their guests who come for sandwiches. And we took them down there, and one of the things that my kids got from that was better dental care. And they weren't aware of how bad your teeth can get if you don't take care of them. Mm. And the guests at the shelter had terrible, terrible teeth. And my sons, at the age we took them, I think they were about 7 and 9, were not real great about teeth brushing. And it improved considerably.
Isn't that an interesting side
wow.
There's always wonderful side effects. Mm-hmm. And so we called a shelter and they said, we'd love for you to make sandwiches. So we made 500 sandwiches that day. But one of the things I'd really like to caution your listeners, do not be discouraged if a charity says, we can't accommodate you, because they don't always have the staff to supervise your children. And simply stay on the phone and call somebody else. They will always take your money. Don't worry about that. I have never had someone call me and say, this charity won't take my money. But in fact, they can't always supervise your kids. And so you may have to do something because of the insurance rules and all kinds of stuff. But keep calling and find something that you can do. One of the groups made planters, and they took them to a senior center, and the seniors loved it, but they had to arrange it with the senior center. And so they potted plants and they decorated them, and they got the names of the people that were in the center, and they put their names on the pots, and the people at the home adored it. And so that's one of the things you can do. They also went to Humane Society one day, and they washed all the dogs, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It was in Florida, so I'm not sure, you know, you have to pick the right season. Mm-hmm. But you really have to coordinate it, and you can't expect other people to supervise your kids. So don't be discouraged if it takes a few calls.
What about money? What about kids giving money? How would you recommend that work?
I think kids can do all kinds of things to give money. And learning how to make money and how to give money and how to investigate charities is really important. Kids need to be educated givers. There's a wonderful resource called GuideStar, and it's GUIDESTAR.org. And children are so sophisticated with the web that they can look up the charities on the web and find out if they're a good choice for them to give to. And so starting to manipulate the web and look through things to find out, is this a good investment? One of the challenges for givers today is there are 1.6 million nonprofits in the United States. So children need to be sophisticated givers. They're investing their hard-earned money.
So how do we guide them in terms of they can't investigate 1.6 million charities, but the idea is to go with their interests or to go with something that happened to them or what?
I frequently ask them, how would you like to change the world? How would you like to change the world? And getting children to realize that they can change the world. Also asking them, what are you afraid of? I don't think we ask children often enough this one simple question, and it explains so much of their own behavior. I'm in my late 50s, and I was really afraid as a small child because of the Bay of Pigs invasion, that we were going to have the Russians come in and take over, and that I don't know what I was afraid of, but I remember one of my friends told me recently that she asked her child, what keeps you up at night? And he said, I worry about the water. And she said, what do you mean? And after Katrina and the tsunami, we live in St. Louis near the Mississippi, and he was worried about the Mississippi River drowning him. So she said, what can we do charitably so that the water won't scare you anymore? And then she took him down to the Mississippi and explained why it wasn't a problem. And so he decided he would raise money for the kids who were affected by the tsunami. And so this little boy started drawing pictures, and he came to my house. Do not buy a used car from a kid named Miles. Because Miles came to my house with this picture. And I said, how much is the picture? And he said, Aunt Carol, it's not how much the picture is worth. It's how much the orphans are worth.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. This child has a future. Well, unfortunately for everybody, mm-hmm. we are out of time. This has been a wonderful discussion. So, Carol Wiseman, thank you so much for being with us today.
It has been so much fun. My favorite topic.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Carol Wiseman's book, Raising Charitable Children. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. And mention show number 313. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available in all major bookstores and on the web.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice right on your computer. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents Perspective programming. Parents Perspective is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today, it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send your checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. And thank you for helping us to continue to work for you. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.